So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you about the past, the present, and the future. And I'm going to deal with the future more than I do the past and the present. Why? Because you have a rearview mirror on your car, you know, unless you've broken it off. And it's there for a reason, because you don't drive looking backwards. You refer to the past, what you've already passed, as a reference for where you're going. And the present is only there for a second, and then you're into the future. So let me deal with it for just a moment. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say thank God? You know, I've been married to the same woman for 32 years. But we've went through multiple styles. When I married her, she was 5'2". Because she had a 3-inch poof and a 2-inch pump. And styles have changed. When she married me, I was athletic. Stuff changes. When she married me, I was decent looking. Things change. I can't help it. I'm doing what I can with what I got to work with. But things change. As I look out into the audience, things change. Some hair has turned gray. Some has turned loose. I see folks with glasses on. I see folks with some hair in their nose, and some out of their ears, and some coming out of their collar. So stuff just changes. Can you say amen? Amen? But let's look at the past for just a moment, because here's a question I want to ask you. To what degree did you make a kingdom impact in 2018? Oh, Pastor, that's not me. That's for you preachers. No. That's where you're wrong. What kind of impact did you make in 2018? Kingdom impact. What did you do for Jesus? Oh, well, I just serve the Lord. I just come to church on Sunday, and that's all I do. That's not what God's called you to do. God's called you to make a kingdom impact. So how did you do this past year? And how did you do with the kingdom assignments that God gave you? Well, God didn't give me any assignments. Yes, he did. You just wasn't listening. Yes, he did. But here's what I've come to realize is that we all measure success differently. I'm reminded of the story of there was a citywide revival that went on, and three preachers and pastors were sitting around talking about the results of the revival. And every one of them said, man, that revival was such a huge success. The Methodist church said, man, you'll never believe it. We gained 4 new families out of that revival. I was like, praise God. The Presbyterian church said, we did even better than that. We gained 6 new families out of that revival. And so it was a great revival. The last pastor said, we did even better than that. We got rid of 10 troublemaking families. So it's all a matter of how you measure stuff, you know, get or get, whatever the case may be. And, it being the end of the year, we sometimes look at report cards. And report cards are important because they give us an idea of how we're doing. But if you were like me, now, how many of us that you are not the parent your parent was? How many of you that, bless God, when I was growing up, I didn't care what grade I made as long as at the end of the year it said I passed. Yeah, see, y'all don't know nothing about that because they pass everybody now. That's right, they pass everybody. The folks don't even pass. Amen. Some people get to have babies that didn't even pass. Let me move on. But that's the only thing that I cared about. Whether I pass or fail. Pass meant that I could go to the next grade. Failed meant I had to repeat the grade. And I'll remember that I did have to repeat a grade. Kindergarten. I don't know what the problem was. Y'all act like y'all do. Y'all wasn't there. Now one of y'all. But that was the past. How did you do on this year? You got to look back over it and check to see how you did. But now let's look at the present. Because here's my second question for you this morning is, how healthy are you right now regards to the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Now, in your handout, or if you're on YouVersion, there is a 9 litmus, there is a test, there is an evaluation to see how you are right now. Don't do it right now. I want you to do that later. But I want you to understand where you are now. Because some of us can't go to the next level unless we know what level we're at. Some of us can't get to where we want to go unless you know where you are right now. And some of us are just walking aimlessly around, really don't know where we are. Back years ago, I don't know, 50, 70 years ago, before GPS, people would call you and go, "Hey, I'm lost." What was the first question they would ask? "Where are you?" Because we cannot tell you how to get to where you want to go unless we realize where you are. And matter of fact, even now on the GPS, when I took my cross-country trip with my brother across the country on our motorcycles, I would get out every morning and put in the GPS where I wanted to go. And the first thing it would do, it would begin to circle and begin to think about and try to find out where I am. And the problem with some of us today is we don't know where we are in 2018. That's why this evaluation, it might help you to realize where you are so that you can realize where you want to go. Because until you know where you are, there is no road that is going to take you where you want to go. Because you got to realize who you are, where you are, and what you are doing at the present time. Can you say amen? The first thing you got to know is, where am I? And there's a diagnostic spiritual fruit test there that I'm not going to go over. There's 9 of them, and I'll let you go there. But now I want to get to the place where I want to preach for a little while, and that is the future. Let's look at the future, because here's another question that I've got for you. The question is, what are you going to do with 2019? Because let me tell you, I don't want you to fret over some things. So first of all, allow me to set the record straight for 2019. The top 10 things that you will not have to worry about in 2019. I'm going to hit them quick. Number one is that the Bible will still have all the answers. You got to recognize the Bible will still have the answers. Oprah won't have them. Dr. Phil won't have them. But the Word of God is still the answer. Number two is this. The prayer will still work for every situation. I know that prayer might be old-fashioned. And prayer might be something that some folks have gone by the wayside. But I've come by to tell you that if you will pray, God said, if you would pray that He would hear you, He would answer you, and He would show you great and mighty things. If you would just pray. I got another one for you. And I know that this is not politically correct, but number three is that the Holy Spirit will still move. It doesn't matter what the climate is in Washington, or the climate is in City Hall, or the climate is in your house. It doesn't even matter what the climate is in this church. God still will move. He said, "I will have a remnant where my move and my spirit will move forward." And as long as I'm the pastor of this church, we're going to do our best to be in the middle of what God is doing and wants to do in this next season. Number four is this, is that God still inhabits the praises of His people. It doesn't matter what you go through, when the praises go up, His presence will still come down. As praise goes up, let me give you another one. Number five, the name of Jesus is still powerful. And as the praise goes up, number six, His power will still come down. Number seven, God will pour out blessings upon His people. Well, I don't believe that. That's why. God will pour out His blessings upon His people. Number eight, there's still room at the cross for you. There's still room at the cross. It is not a number that we can mark off and say the heaven is full. No, baby, there is room at the cross. You can't say that the blood is all used up. It still flows to the deepest valleys, and it still goes to the highest mountain. The blood of Jesus has not lost its power. It has not lost its hold. There is room at the cross for you. I've got some good news for you. Number nine is that Jesus still loves you. Pastor, I don't feel very loved. That's the devil God still loves you. Jesus still loves you. Number 10, God is still smarter than you. So you can go ahead and just quit worrying about those things. He's smarter than you are. He's smarter than you are. Quit trying to tell God how to do his job. Because he's going to do it how he wants to. So rest assured, these things are still going to happen. So no worries about the future. But here's the deal. We usually worry about the future because it's unknown. And we've not been there, but God has. God said, I'm the same today, yesterday, and forever. He knows how to put one foot in your past and one foot in your future and everything in between. He has this thing handled. Can you say amen? Listen, church, what are you going to do with 2019? Will this new year be any different than last year? How many of you want 19 to be better than 18? I know I do. And even though 18 was a good year, even though I had loss, even though I had crisis, even though I had tragedy, it was still, as I stand at the end of 2018, I can say that God has been good to Ronnie Reed, that God has been good to my family, that God has been good to our church, and I believe that 2019 will be even better. But the problem we may have to ask, well, Pastor, 2018 was so good. I don't want it to be any better in 2019. Listen, is there anybody in here? Let me go ahead and tell you, because you might be here, but you're going to lie. Anybody in here who says, Pastor, I have a perfect life? I didn't say perfect wife. I said perfect because I'd have to say yes. But a perfect life. And I know what some of you right now romantically looking at your spouse going, baby, as long as I'm with you, everything's perfect. And I hate to bust your bubble, but they lying. They lying. They a liar. But that's all right, still speaking that lie because women love to hear them lies. Go ahead and keep speaking it. For some, last year was a tough year. It was a year of challenges. It was a year of choices. It was a year of changes. It was a year of crisis. But the fact of the matter, some people in 2018 can't wait for it to be over because 2018 was a disappointment. For some, they experienced loss. They experienced the loss of a loved one. Maybe for you, 18 was a year of failure. Maybe, just maybe, in a few days, we get to start over. In a few days, we get to start with a new year, a clean slate. Let me tell you something, though. Here's the deal. Just because the calendar changes doesn't mean your circumstances changes. Just because the calendar changes doesn't mean that your slate is wiped clean. The only thing that wipes your slate clean is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I've already told you that in 2019, it still heals, it still washes clean, it still makes whole. So it doesn't matter what the number is on the day or the calendar. Baby, if you say right now today, this could be your new year right now. This could be your new season today. Day, if you decide from this day forward, Jesus, I'm serving you. I'm giving my old life up and I'm giving you everything that's within me. That's what causes it to be. Listen, you just enter. How is 19 going to be better than 18? The key to this is you've got to have a plan. Huh? Yeah, plan. I didn't say a plant, a plan. You got to have a plan. See, God brings us bite-sized pieces and hours and days and months. And every year, we have the opportunity to start over in a sense. But you can't just say, I hope 19's better than 18. I'm not going to change anything. That's the definition of insanity, is expecting different results, but keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. You've got to make a decision that I got to make a plan to change. You've got to have a plan to make it better. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 24 says this, an intelligent man, bump your neighbor and say, oh, they're talking about me. An intelligent man aims at wise actions. But a mini fool starts off in many directions. And the problem is some of us ain't aiming at anything. I told the early service that, how many remember Brother Jack Sissel? Brother Jack Sissel was at Pearl Harbor when they were attacked. He was 19 years of age. When he, I think it was, I said 93, but I think it was 91 or 92 when this happened. There's several, many years ago when they were having, when they, somebody came into the Tampa down there and they, somebody came in there and shot some people, you know what I'm saying? And don't get nervous. We got some security. We won't tell you who all they are, but anyway, I pity the fool who come up in here. I know that not everybody on the security team is packing. Most of them are in the pew. But now here's what this 91-year-old man said, or 92, whatever, however old he was. We were sitting around, or standing around talking. He said, well, I'll tell you right now, Pastor. Pulled up his pants leg. Took a pistol out of his boot. He said, if they ever came for you, they'd never make it. I said, my Lord Jesus, Jack, put that thing away. He might have been aiming, but it ain't a machine gun, son. You can't just spray them. Innocent people are going to be hurt. But that's how some of us are living our life for Christ. We don't have any indication of where we're going. And so we're just going here and there and everywhere. But God says, slow down and take aim at where you want to go. Take aim at what I want you to do. Begin to zero in. You've got to find focus for living. So many of us that describe 2018, we're headed off in many directions. You need to understand aim means to have a goal, an objective, an aim, a target. Have some set goals in 2019. You need to understand that. I'm not talking about just having some resolutions, but a goal, an aim. Let me give you four things how to maximize it. I know you're nervous. Let me give you four things. Number one is this: assume responsibility for my life. Assume. Now, I'm not talking about assume responsibility for my life, but I've got to assume responsibility for my life. You've got to assume responsibility for your life. You got to quit blaming everybody for everything that's what's going on. You see, that's the popular concept because the culture, we have this thing called political correctness and basically says, none of my problems is my fault. None of your problems is your fault. No, everything bad in your life is somebody else's fault. Blame the environment. Blame an educator. Blame the parent. Blame anything else, but it's not your fault. If you have an accident, it's not your fault. Let's sue somebody. If you spill coffee on you, it's not your fault. It's McDonald's fault. If you have an ugly baby, it's not there. It's not your fault. It's the father's fault. And that wasn't in the notes. But you're never going to be a success in life, and you're never going to make your life count for something if that is your attitude, that is always somebody else's fault. Well, Pastor, I'm this way because I wasn't hugged. I'm this way because I was hugged too much. I'm this way because I wasn't potty trained. I'm this way because I was potty trained too early. I was this way because I was potty trained wrongly. I was this way. You've got to get over all of that and declare that I'm going to take responsibility for my own life, that I might not can help what happened to me, but I declare that I will assume responsibility, and I'm not going to let anybody else make my decisions for me. I'm going to let Jesus call my decisions because he's the one that knows everything anyway. Good preaching, Pastor. Listen, church, we must assume responsibility for our life. Well, you got any Bible for that? I sure do. Galatians 6:5 says each person must be responsible for himself. The fact is, my choices determine more than my circumstances. Did you hear that? My choices determine more than my circumstances. Because you're connected to different people. When you make a choice, it determines your attitude, it determines the people around you, it determines more than just my circumstances. You cannot control what's going to happen to you in the next 365 days. I don't have the foggiest idea of all that's going to happen to me. I can't control the actions and reactions of everybody else. But the first point on to making 19 better than 18 is saying, okay, I can't control the circumstances in my life. However, my actions and my reactions will be determined by my choices. How many ever reacted and made things worse? Yeah. Not me. But other people. No, of course I have. See, I'm going to choose to be different in 2019. There are three kinds of people in life. There are accusers, there are excusers, and there are choosers. You see, the accuser, they always blame everybody else for their problem. The phrase, their phrase is, it's all your fault. It's never my fault. It's all your fault. I didn't have anything to do with it. How many marriages have we tried to counsel? But when we get him into the room, it's not my fault. It's all him. It's all her. Oh, contraire you with little hair. It is not the truth. See, that's their favorite. The excuser always have a rationale for where they are. Well, where are you working at? Well, I'm just between jobs. I'm working on something. They didn't treat me right. Yeah, because you didn't work. I got quiet in here now. Well, Pastor, I don't know why they fired me. I was only 30 minutes late every day. But that wasn't my fault. Dunkin' Donut took too long to get my coffee. So it's their fault. My car broke down. It's their fault. They ran it. Let me move on. Excusers. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that a lazy man is full of excuses. And an excuse is your way of trying to check out of not taking responsibility for what's going on in your life. Good preaching, Pastor. I want to be a part of the last crew, the choosers. Because choosers say, I choose to assume responsibility for my own life. I'm not dependent upon somebody else. I am not depending upon the crowd. I'm not depending on somebody else to make me happy. I'm going to be happy all by myself. If I got to be by myself, then I'm going to be happy by myself. Because I know in whom I help believe. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And he gives me strength. So therefore, I'm just going to be joyful all by myself if that's what it takes. Assume responsibility for your life. And if you do that, honey, you're already a jump ahead in 2019. But let me give you number two. I believe I can change. Believe that I can change. Well, Pastor, I've been this way all my life. Well, change! I'm sick and tired of you being that way all your life. People take pride in it. Well, I tell you right now, I just been this stubborn my whole life. Well, quit being so stubborn. Well, I don't know how. Well, I do. A frying pan will help. Stop saying I can't and start saying I can. I can change. I can be a better husband. I can be a better father. I can be a better Christian. I can be. Well, God doesn't expect all that out of me. Yes, he does. See, the person who says, I can't, and the person who says, I can, are both right. Because if all you do is say, I can't, you're right, baby, you can't. But if you keep saying, I can, you can. Now, I'm not talking about just positive confection. I'm talking about Philippians 4:13. Let me read it from the Jerusalem Bible. There is nothing I cannot master with the help of Christ who gives me strength. What are you saying? There ain't nothing I can't do with the help of Christ. It's going to take the help of Christ for some of us. Come on, somebody. You tried it on your own. You tried to do just a self-help book. You tried to do all that. No, baby. You got to ask Christ to give you the power. That's the difference between pop psychology and the Word of God. Pop psychology does not have the ability to give you the power to change. But Jesus said, all things have been passed away. Behold, all have become new. He knows how to come in and change your heart and heal your heart, heal your nature, heal your character, and cause a change to happen in your life. Do you really believe that though? Pastor, I'm not sure. On my own, I can't do it. See, we're not talking about positive thinking. We're not talking about I think again. No, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. I can handle anything. I believe I can change, not by my own power, but by the power that Christ gives me. I can handle it. There's nothing. There is nothing that you will face in 2019 that you can't handle with the power of Jesus Christ. Now you look, well, I don't want to have to go through it. Well, there's some things you've got to go through. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I don't want to go through Samaria, but I got to go through Samaria because there's some things I got to do. And there's some things that you've got to go through in 2019. So you might as well just square your shoulders back and say, bless God, I'm going to come through this. When I'm going through it, I'm going to look and see what I need to learn so I ain't got to repeat this again. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's amazing that people never do this number three. Clarify what I really want. Clarify what I really want. Well, I want a sable under my tree for me. Clarify what you really want. But here's what we usually, well, I just want to be happy. Hogwash! You don't know what's going to make you happy. You must decide what is important and what isn't important. Right. What's important? Listen, I know, man, listen, I'm sorry. You know, the Gators won yesterday. Amen. Now, that's more emotion than I got out of you all day. And that ain't going to matter a hill of bean come next year. And you understand? I mean, listen, hey, I stayed up till 12 o'clock watching Alabama beat whoever they played. Who they play? Oklahoma. That's right. And then I stayed up even extra to watch the Seminoles play. Because they wasn't playing. They didn't play all year. But anyway. But that don't mean a hill of beans. Can I tell you that today, because the FSU did not beat Florida, I am still fine. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I don't need counseling. Why? Because it's really not important. Some of y'all act like y'all's children was playing there. Now, if they are, that might make a difference. But if they not, it don't make no difference. I don't even personally know anybody on either team. But it don't make any difference. But yet we want to make what's important. You got to realize what is and what isn't important. God has given us this incredible gift called the freedom to choose and the freedom of choice. And so here's what Job 34 says. I wish I'd have put it up there, but I haven't. Job chapter 34, verse 3 says this. We can choose the sounds we want to listen to. We can choose the taste we want in food. We should choose to follow what is right. But first of all, we must define what is good. Most people's not even defining what is good anymore. We're just following it because the crowd is following it. We're following it because that's what we want. We're following it because everybody says this is good. No, you need to define what is good. Is it good for you? It's amazing. Most people never do this, but what are your values? What do you value? What is important to you? What really counts? Because, hear me closely, you can't do what's important until you clarify what's important. Listen to me. God help me, Jesus. You'll never be on time for church if you don't determine that it's important to be on time for church. You'll never go to church on a regular basis until you define it's important for me to go on a regular basis. Listen to me. I'm not mad at nobody. But I am a little aggravated at folks wondering why their life isn't what it is, but they're not defining what's important. They think what is important is getting up on Sunday morning and doing what you want. No, baby. What's important is doing what God wants you to do. What's important is if you will do what God wants you to do, He'll multiply the time back to you, I promise you, to do the things that you want to do or the things that you think that are important to you. So you got to clarify what's important, because if you don't clarify what's important, you won't do it. Otherwise, you're going to be pushed around by the pressure of life doing this and doing that, and then suddenly realize that the year is over again. Your values determine your vision. What you value determines what's your vision. Your desire determines your direction. And your roles determine your goals. See, the first I got to stop and say, what's really important? What really matters? Most people never made up their mind what they want out of life. And if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit nothing.
Well, Pastor, I'm just trying to make it through today.
And I understand that. There are weeks I get up, I want to aim two steps. Whew. Thank you, Jesus, I made it. But the thing is, you got to aim for somewhere. Aim beyond where you are right now. Because if you don't aim for that, you're never going to reach that. Can I get a good amen? What does God want me to do with my life? Listen, please do not send me emails about, well, what do God want me to do? I don't know. I'm not God. But most people have this vague feeling, I just want to be happy. Happy is the happy stance. Now listen to me. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And we're doing things that are permissible, but things that are not beneficial. All right? If you're a Christian, most of us don't wrestle with anymore. I mean, I've been saved for 32 years. I don't wrestle with every morning whether I want to get up and kill my neighbor. That's not a struggle for me. Number one, I got good neighbors. There is one dog and one motorcycle I wouldn't mind taking care of. But anyway. But I got good neighbors. I don't struggle because I've been saved for a long time. And to God be the glory, and I bind the devil. I don't wake up every morning wrestling with where I'm going to go out and do drugs today. I don't, and it's been a long time, I don't wrestle with drinking. There was a time I did. You know, there's been a few times during this building program about 10 years ago I wrestled with it. Come on, I'm just being real. But I knew it wouldn't do no good, right? I don't wrestle. So if you're a Christian, you don't wrestle between good and evil anymore. Usually you wrestle between what's good and best. You're wrestling what is good and you're wrestling with what is best. And usually the good wins out because it's easier than the best. Oh, my Lord. I can't wait to get done. I'm going to go back and listen to this thing. Some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. You know, like, listen. And I know we got a couple of chefs in here. The little green stuff y'all put on food, you don't need all that. You know what I'm saying? They put a little parsley on there. That ain't ever made or break no supper. Man, I'll tell you what would have just popped this off. Boy, if it just had a little bit of parsley, I'd have been satisfied. No, baby, pass the gravy. That's what I'm going to be satisfied. Pass the gravy. Woo. Glory. You don't have time for everything. So you better figure out what's the two or three things that you've got to get done this year and what's really important. And the way that you do that is you ask yourself, what's going to last? What's going to last? I'll tell you what's going to last. The way you treat your family, the way you treat your friends, what kind of husband you are, what kind of father you are, that's what's going to last. What kind of mother you are, that's what's going to last. Though all the other things, I mean, listen, friends will leave you, and you better realize what is important. A lot of things aren't going to last. They're urgent, but they're not important. And you need to know the difference. Number four, and I'm done. Don't wait to begin. Don't wait to begin. Well, you know, and I know y'all like it. You know, y'all know my family had a baking day, not a bacon, baking day. And they made all these sweets. And, you know, and the next fifth Sunday, I don't want to wear this jacket. So me and Steve going on a diet. So I got 2 days to get all the sweets out. I hear some of y'all right now, I will take some. No, 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 no. It'd be rude for me to give away my wife's food. Make her think I didn't want it. I'm doing this for her because she's important to me. And that's what's going to last. Don't wait to begin. Do it now. Do it now. Those three words will change your life. Do it now. Quit waiting on it. You know, listen. I remember, it's 12:28. I got you. I remember when I felt like I was supposed to ask my wife to marry me. I thought, yeah, I'm going to give her a promise ring, and I'm going to promise we're going to get married in a little while. That's what a promise means. You know, you women that got a promise ring for Christmas, what your man was really saying is, I ain't ready to commit to you with no engagement ring. I'm blowing it up right now, ain't I? Yeah, I am. Yeah, baby, I'm blowing up your game right now. This is just a promise that I'm going to think about asking you to marry me a little later with this $150 ring before I get you a $500 ring. That's what that means. I'm on medication. Woo! I don't know what my wife gave me. But that's what my plan was. And we went to church, and the man of God called us out. And somehow God knew my plan. He said, son, the Lord would say to you, don't wait 3, 4 months, 2 years. Do it now. I'm like, does he know what I'm about to do? So I got under conviction. That night I asked her to marry me without no ring. Now. You better make sure it's God. Because, boy, you get the wrong woman, your life is over. Mm-hmm. You get the wrong one, boy, you're in a world of hurt. But, boy, you get the right one. Come on, baby. There will never be an ideal circumstance to start on that change, to make that growth, to work on that development. Do it now. I thought about small fry. Do it now. Do it now, Jesus. Do it now. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Says she was trying to tell the man of God he needed, his breath was stinky. So he said, how can I do this and still stay in the spirit? So she just said, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Dentine, dentine, do it now, do it now, do it now. Do it right now. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the thing I hear the most in the U.S. Well, when things settle down, no, baby, they're not going to settle down. That's called life. It's not going to settle down. When things settle down, you're going to be dead. Well, if I can just get things settled down, I'm going to start having a daily quiet time and reading my Bible every day. You liar. Because that ain't ever going to settle down. The devil going to make sure. See, you got to learn to read the Bible when things are unsettled. When things settle down, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. They'll be grown and gone. When things settle down, I'm going to reestablish my connection with my spouse, and we're going to work on our romance. You better work on it now. Because, let me give you this. I think I have this. Life must be enjoyed under imperfect circumstances. Well, I just want everything to be perfect. Get over yourself. Nothing going to ever be perfect till we get to Jesus. Stop waiting on that perfect day. Because if not the primary root of procrastination is perfectionism. Because I deal with this so little. Now listen to me. There's a difference between excellence and perfectionism. Because perfectionism, give me my next, perfectionism produces paralysis. Because if you always wait for perfection, you ain't ever going to get anything done. Now, there's a difference. You know, I don't mean just all willy-vanilly do whatever you want to do. Have a plan. Work the plan. Have a spirit of excellence about you. But everything ain't got to be perfect. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a perfectionist, you don't do a whole lot. And the things that you do, you make everybody around you crazy. I see some men ain't looking nowhere but at me. Just come on, save your marriage, son. Just look at me. Look at me, brother. Just come on, save your marriage. Straight at me. Don't look at her. Don't cock that eye toward her. Look at me. I can't get anything done because I'm waiting for that perfect moment to start the project that I've always wanted to start. Waiting for the perfect moment to begin the hobby I've always wanted to begin. I'm waiting on that perfect moment to learn the skills that I want to learn. If you don't do it now, you're probably not going to get it done because life goes on. Do it now. So how do I maximize 2019? You assume responsibility for your life. Believe you can change. Clarify what is really important. Clarify what you really want. And then lastly, don't wait to begin. You know, if I really take this message in, then I'm going to quit eating them Buckeye peanut butter balls today. But I'm going to listen to my own preaching. And I'm just going to cut back today. I won't have 16 today. I'm thinking 8. Maybe 10. Got to wean myself off of them. Y'all know you can't come off stuff like straight up, cold turkey, some things. I've been snapped. I can do it. Do it now. Do it right now. Do it right now. I believe with all this in me, God is setting you up for victory in 2019. To find focus for living. You know, our vision here is we want to be a place where you can find focus for living because failure is just a broken focus. Would you bow your heads with me in here? And I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But on this last Sunday of 2018, the way that you began to maximize 2019 is by having a relationship or at least starting a relationship with Jesus. I give you my word, I'm not going to ask you to stand, I'm not going to ask you to come up here, I'm not going to single you out. Between me and you and God, if you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I need to start 2019 with Jesus. I don't know him, but I want to. Would you just lift up your hand? I see that hand. I see that one. I see that one. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you. And we are so excited that you're making that commitment today to Jesus, that everybody in this room is going to pray this prayer with you. Would you, everybody, pray this prayer? Heavenly Father, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for me, and I accept the blood of Jesus as the price for my sin. So from this day forward, I will never be the same, because I'm inviting you into my heart from now on. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord praise in the house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.